You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, and this time live with writer-director Gary Dauberman. Featured as a writer in many of the films in the Conjuring universe, for the first time Gary steps behind the camera in Annabelle Comes Home, the third film in the famed horror spin-off franchise. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Gary about what draws us to the horror genre, the communal nature of horror, and what it is about children's toys that's so terrifying. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Good man, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Gary, thank you so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Thanks for chatting with me.
This is really exciting. I mean, here we are, Annabelle Comes Home is the third entry. Of course, you've been involved in the franchise for some time. How was it that you were brought into the Conjuring family?
I was working at New Line on some other stuff, and they told me about this movie they were making called The Conjuring, and they were making it with James Wan, who I was a fan of, and they asked if I wanted to see a very early cut of the movie. Like a friends and family thing that James was going to do, and I immediately jumped at the chance because I was a fan of James's other movies. And I saw that movie, and it's not often you watch a movie and you find out that I knew my kids were going to watch it 20 years from now, if that makes sense. It was like an instant classic. Like it worked on every level for me. And it was such an early cut, and they were like, well, do you have any notes? And my note was like, don't touch anything. Like it works as it is. And I don't think it did change much, not because I said that, but I think because it's just James was so brilliant with how he approached the material and his filmmaking, they didn't really change it much from the early cut to what is now out there. But, you know, so that movie came out. It was a great success. People really were talking about this doll that was talked about in the first 10 minutes of the movie. And that's when New Line called me, knowing I was a fan and working on other stuff, if I wanted to be a part of or write that Annabelle movie. And that's how it got started. I jumped at that chance and wrote that movie, and then from there we kind of rolled into the next and the next.
Yeah, that it's fantastic. And I mean, like you said, The Conjuring is one of those ones that, I mean, it just works so well on so many levels. But I mean, you've had a lot of experience now in the horror genre. I mean, so what is it that draws you to horror, and what do you think draws us back to the horror genre?
Yeah, well, you know, for me personally, I don't know what it is that draws me to horror. I grew up outside of Philadelphia. I, you know, was surrounded by history. It makes me feel like there's a ghost story in every other house. You know, but I grew up and I had a really nice childhood. So, you know, maybe my mind, I was given a safe space to sort of explore the darker stuff. It wasn't like I was coming from a dark place and looking for darker things. I don't know. I've just always been fascinated by things that are sort of unexplained phenomenon, you know. And then, you know, I look at it, like my own son's 9 years old, and he seems to be gravitating towards horror, but not, you know, my wife and I went out of our way not to force him into that because we didn't want it to feel like, you know, we can't stand when parents sort of impress their own sort of opinions and tastes on their kids.
Right.
But he just seemed to always naturally to go towards it. So I don't know if it's just some sort of innate thing or what it is. And then I think for me, you know, why people like horror, I think, you know, there's many ways, but I think fear is a healthy thing. I think it helps us understand who we are. I think it teaches us who we are, what we're afraid of. I think it helps with our survival instincts. I think it's a healthy thing. I don't think a person's weird or abnormal or whatever because they like being scared. I think we all like being scared in some degree, but I also think it just helps us grow as people too. One of the reasons I think horror works in the movies and the theater is we have so few communal experiences nowadays. And I think going to the theater with a bunch of people crammed together in an audience, or, you know, in a theater, all experiencing the same types of fears or emotions, I think is I think it's something that we're lacking nowadays, and one of the few places we get it is in the theater. Because, you know, elsewhere in our lives, we're watching TV on our phones or on our iPads or whatever, and it's a singular experience. We're not sharing that experience with anybody. I mean, look at it, even with, I don't want to go too deep down this rabbit hole with you, but look how shows are put out nowadays. Sometimes they're, a lot of times they're now released all at once. So you don't even get the shared experience of, oh, my God, did you see that show last week? I can't wait to see what happens next week. You know, it's everybody's on a different part of the conversation because, oh, I could only watch 3 last night, but somebody else watched 5, and they can't talk too much about, they don't want to spoil it. So, but I think horror is one of those things that people go to the theater for and they get to share this communal experience with, and I think that's one of the reasons why it works so well, too.
Yeah, there is something really wonderful about that communal experience. I love that you keep bringing that up because for horror especially, that's what works. You know, you can watch it by yourself, but it just doesn't feel the same.
No, I know. I mean, look, you can turn it on late at night, dark in your room, and get creeped out, but I love watching with an audience because it feels like the audience is a part of the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like fear is also infectious. So if that guy 3 rows up is really kind of, he's got that funny scream, and he's screaming and gasping at all the right places, it lets you enjoy the experience even further. So yeah, it really is. Through the process of making these movies, you know, we test the movies and we show it to early audiences and stuff, and it's really one of my favorite parts because you get to see what's working and what's not just based on that audible reaction or those audible gasps from the crowd.
With that being said, looking at Annabelle, children's toys.
Yeah.
What is it about kids' toys that keeps showing up in the genre? I mean, even this weekend... There are 3 toy movies, of course, you know, 2 of them horror, and 1 of them has moments in its childlike whimsy that touch on horror elements. And of course, Annabelle is one of the horror ones. So what is it about kids' toys?
Well, yeah, I know. I saw Toy Story 4 over the weekend, which is brilliant. And yeah, there are those moments of horror in there. And I think what it is about toys and the kids, I think it's because those things aren't supposed to bring you fear and horror. They're supposed to bring you joy and love and sense of security. So I think when you subvert that, it makes it even more scarier because this thing is not inherently supposed to bring you fear. So I think that's part of the reason why it works so well in the horror genres, because you're completely turning something on its head. Mm. That's why haunted houses work so well, too, right? Houses are supposed to be a safe space and a safe place and give you security. So when the evil is coming with inside the home, yeah, it's terrifying because the thing that's supposed to provide you all that security is suddenly now a thing of evil.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. This is the 3rd entry, of course, into the Annabelle franchise. What is it about this particular story that sets it apart in your mind than other entries?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think, well, first and foremost, we get to explore Judy Warren a bit, who we've met in the Conjuring movies, but haven't yet really gotten too deep behind her character. Because I often think about what it was like to grow up in a house with Ed and Lorraine Warren and what they did for a living and what this room was that was filled with all these haunted artifacts. So that was one of those things that I really wanted to explore in this movie. And then there's just some... You know, like structurally, we never had a movie that took place over the course of one night in this universe. I wanted to explore that. I wanted to explore the artifact room that, you know, and see what kind of unique scares certain artifacts could provide for us in this movie. It was kind of fun to just play around with that stuff. And I think that stuff makes it feel a part of the universe, but also helps set it apart and make it its own little movie too. That works if you haven't seen some of the other movies or any of the other movies. I still think you have a point of entry in this. I still think you have a point of entry in this movie because I don't think you need to understand too much backstory to enjoy this one.
Now, I mean, you've been involved heavily, of course, in the franchise universe and of course doing the It movies. I was wondering, what is it that made you decide to step into the director's chair this time?
It just felt like a natural progression of where I've been. I've worked with such generous and great filmmakers that have all allowed me to be a part of the process from start to finish. So I got to learn a lot I got to ask questions. I got to see what the challenges were. I got to see what works and what doesn't, pretty up close and personal. So it's all been such a great education that just felt like that natural progression of me. And I couldn't ask for a better opportunity either, because really I'm making movies with a bunch of my friends. I mean, people I've developed relationships with over the years. So we were all on the same page. We all had the same goal in mind. They all knew me and my personality, and I knew their personalities. And, you know, so it was a really kind of safe environment for me to take that step. And it felt like, you know, an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
Now, I know that you've been working on several things. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about Swamp Thing, because I know my understanding is you were involved in that, but even though it was really well received, it sort of disappeared. I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about what happened with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Swamp Thing I worked on, and it's something I'm very, very proud of.
It's great. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It was great.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, no, I loved it. I'm very proud of it. You know, Mark Verheiden led the charge on that one, and you know, it was just a really great experience working on that show. We're so happy that the critics and the fans are loving it the way that we love it. And, you know, because one of the things Mark and I wanted to do was really be true to the spirit of the book, and I think the show achieved that, and I think the people who worked on it got that, and just really just did an amazing job, because that is not an easy feat, adapting that book and putting it, bringing it to life, you know, adapting that comic. As to what happened to it, I mean, look, your guess is really as good as mine. I wish I had some insight to provide on that because it would help make me sleep better at night. they call it show business, right? And I think we really got the show part right. The business side of it, I think, maybe is where it feels a little like that might have a large reason to do with why what happened. But yeah, I mean, it's frustrating for us creatively, because we thought we were really sort of firing on all gears, and, you know, but I hope at some point we get to explore more stories in the swamp, because, you know, it was great fun spending time there.
Sure. Is there anything that you're working on now that you're particularly excited about moving on from the third Annabelle, or will we see more Annabelle?
I don't know about the more Annabelle. You know, I guess there's always a chance with her. But you know, right now I'm working on Sam's Lot, which is another adaptation of a Stephen King novel that one of my favorites that you know, that I'm really, really excited about. Yeah, and then there's a bunch of other things, but right now my focus is on Sam's Lot.
That's great. Well, is it a challenge working with a guy like Stephen King? I mean, this is, you've adapted a couple of things for him now.
Yep, I did it, and well, no, I mean, it's the challenge is not to screw it up, because you know, there's a reason these things are around as long as they are, and that's my biggest source of anxiety, and that's my biggest stress, and my biggest challenge is how can I not screw this up? How can I make this, you know, Sam's Lot sort of had the same life that it does, where it existed only as a television miniseries for so long, and it hadn't had the cinematic treatment that it got. So that's what we're doing with Salem's Lot, and you know, it's how can I make this give it the cinematic treatment that it deserves. But fortunately, you're working off such a great, we're working with such great source material. That makes it a little bit easier when you're writing it.
That's exciting. Gary, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephen, man. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, this is great.
Take care.
Yeah, take care. Thanks.